There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
As always, I'm Darren Karp, and I'm with my best bud, John Thrasher. What's going on, Mom? How are you?
Hi, Dad. How's it going over there?
Oh, I miss you. I feel like, weirdly, because we had such an interesting episode last week with our friend Dan and Brandy, I feel like I haven't been able to see you. Like, this feels like we took a break, even though we didn't. And in fact, we probably got more true crime knowledge last week than ever before. But
right.
Have you started any of the suggestions that we were hounding you about, or no?
Not yet, to be completely honest, because it was the holiday weekend, which most people think, you know, is a time to catch up on television. But because it's the summer, Darren, I got to be outside. I can't staying inside.
Did you get any fireworks? Did you see anything? Or
were the cicadas,
like, just killing you over here?
Well, thankfully, I'm happy to report the cicadas have all died or gone back underground or whatever happens to them. I don't care. I don't want to know.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they're gone. But I did see a lot of fireworks. I did have a nice, relaxing weekend, vaccinated weekend with friends and family, and yeah, it was just a perfect summer weekend, and I really needed it. You know, Darren, you know what I've been up to, I know what you've been up to with our jobs, and we just need it. You know, I just need a little break from it all, like we all do in life.
It's kind of crazy to just think back of like where we all were. I mean, like, I know people aren't like generally back at the office, so I understand that like that isn't a thing, but just like where the whole world was exactly a year ago on the 4th of July compared to this year. And it's like, obviously things aren't perfect, but I think there's a lot of like positivity to look at.
Yeah.
Just kind of coming out of there. So yeah, I was actually in LA because Nadine is back.
She's back. Darren's babe is back town.
You saw her for like 2 seconds.
I did.
On a Zoom that we were having. And she was like, babe, I'm not wearing a bra. Like, I was like, John won't even notice. I was like, I don't even think he knows what boobs are. And
it
turns out you don't. So
I
We're fine.
I told her, I was like, listen, if any guy is going to, like, see what's happening, it shouldn't be me. I mean, I'm like your brother at this point.
You're safe space. You know what I mean? You're safe space. But it feels good to have her back. And we went to a friend's party out here for the 4th. And it was nice.
How long had it been? 3 months or something?
Yeah, about 3 months. So it was a much needed return for sure. But just out in LA for this week, and then I'll be back in New York City starting next week. So
that's fantastic. Well, congrats.
Thank you so much. It feels good. And to celebrate, are you drinking anything today, John?
I'm drinking my Bailey's and coffee again because, as you can hear, my voice is a little deep today. I don't know why, actually. I've been trying to wonder. I haven't talked most of the day today just because things have been going on. I've just been kind of sitting at my computer.
Sure.
So I started talking to you, and I'm like, what's going on with my voice, guys?
It sounds fine for me. I mean, remember last week my voice was like absolutely shot.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe there's just something in the air, but I understand.
Well, I will say just briefly before we get into this week's episode, I want to know what you're drinking too. I saw Black Widow last night with Scarlett Johansson, which is a Marvel movie, Darren. That's the only time I pay for movie tickets.
Now, wait, two questions. One, is Black Widow something that you have to go into theaters for, or if you pay like the $300,000 to Disney Plus, you can watch it on Disney Plus? Is that also?
It is an option. It's called Premier Access. This is not an ad, by the way. I just know this.
No, this is just nerd alert. alert for everyone.
Nerd
out
alert.
There.
Exactly.
This is Nerd Alert.
And if you have a Disney Plus subscription, you can pay $30 for what's called the Premier Access version of Black Widow, and you can watch it.
$30 million to me.
Pretty much. Same
that's,
thing. Yeah.
That's how I view it. And then I think I saw your tweet where you were like, I had popcorn and cherry Coke for dinner or something, which was that right? Did you have
That's right. Nature is healing, I said.
Yes, nature is healing for sure.
Nature's getting back to what it was meant to be doing, which is having me in a movie theater eating popcorn and watching Marvel movies and cherry Coke for dinner. But yeah, I wanted to mention it because when I came out of that movie, which by the way, I'm so excited. We'll talk about that on another episode, maybe on our Patreon show, NMR. But
she's a spider, right?
Well, not technically.
No, because
Black Widow is a spider, yes.
Okay, so is it like spider, like Spider-Man?
She's not like Spider-Woman. No. It's basically the Widow is in the Marvel comics like a team of like female assassins from Russia. So she's one of the Black Widows from that program, and that this movie is all about the backstory of that. And it was really, really good. I was like kind of nervous because I don't love that character. You know me, I'm all about the witches and the magic and the Power Rangers of it all.
Of course.
So this, you know, this character is very like down to earth and like doesn't have superpowers or anything like that, but she's great at what she does.
She doesn't have superpowers, but she's like an assassin.
She's an assassin. She's a very good fighter. She's very smart. She has access to all these other like tools and weapons and stuff. So she's really a badass. It's amazing, actually. And they kind of poke fun at that in the movie. Like, you're not exactly Thor from space, you know, a god or something. And it's hilarious.
Right, she's just a woman. How powerful could she be, right?
Well, right, exactly, right?
What could she do? You know what I mean? Like, without a man, is a woman really capable of anything superpower? No.
Oh, dear. Let's not isolate that audio, Darren. Yeah, well, I think... front page of People magazine.
I hope that people realize that I am... gravely joking about that, hence the reason she's not Thor, because, you know, whatever. But
right. So I came out of the theater, and it was like Fog City. You couldn't see, like, 3 feet in front of you. And I'm like, is this why my voice is weird? That can't be the reason. But anyway, here I am with a deep voice.
Well, allergies have been bad. Since I'm in LA, it's a little bit early for me today. And I actually went to this beautiful restaurant last night and had a bunch of sake. So this morning I'm having an iced coffee is what I'm going to be having today. So nothing major. No alcoholic drinks for me this morning.
All right. Fair enough. I love that you're representing those of us who are listening without drinking at the moment.
Amen. And I just wanted to, start the case with a little energy because this one's a little bit of a doozy today that we're going to... A lot of them are doozies. I think anything that kind of involves true crime is going to be a doozy, so I get that. But
We were going to be called Shaken and Doozies, but it just didn't come off the tongue the same way.
I told you that, you know, when I was like 16 or whatever, my parents took us to the Caribbean with their friends, and like our house was like on this bluff, and you had to like walk down to the beach, and there was like a lot of steps, like 100 steps to walk down to the beach. And my parents and their friends were like, Darren, because you're young, like go up and make us drinks. And like, I didn't know the proper cocktail. So I literally put like 9 shots of vodka in and then probably like a splash of orange juice, and they called them Darren Doozies because
within
20 minutes they're passed out. So Doozy does make sense.
Do you ever feel like you're being followed around the internet and maybe advertisers know a bit too much about you? Our new sponsor, IPVanish VPN, is here to help you take back your privacy and help become anonymous on the internet. So what is it? IPVanish is a virtual private network, a VPN for short. A VPN is a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet. You can use a VPN on your computers, tablets, phones, even things like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. When you use a VPN, all your data is encrypted. What you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is you're doing. That's important because what you're doing on the internet is no one else's business but yours. IPVanish helps you remain anonymous and secure on the internet. And for listeners of our show, IPVanish is offering an incredible 65% off. So just $3.49 for the first month or $31.49 for the year. That's an amazing deal. Here's everything you're going to get with it too. Anonymous IP address. addresses. This means your personal IP address can't be tracked by anyone on the web. Circumvent any online censorship. IPVanish has more than 1,500 servers in 70-plus locations. Get protection when using public Wi-Fi. This is super important. Remember, with IPVanish, all your data is encrypted, so no one can snoop on what you're doing. You also get 24/7 support. Email them, chat with them. You can even call them. They're there to help. So go to IPVanish.com/shaken and claim your 65% savings. Like I said, they have plans starting at just $3.49 or $31.49 a year. This is the time to sign up. With our discount and their current promotional offerings, you can get a VPN for 65% off their usual offering. IPVanish is the best of the best, even rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot, and that's with more than 6,000 reviews. Remember, it's IPVanish.com/shaken to get the deal and start protecting yourself online.
Sean Alexander grew up in a northeast neighborhood of Atlanta, Georgia, with his parents, Gerald and Cynthia, and his younger sister. Sean's father, Gerald, was, and possibly still is, the chief executive of International Capital Corporation, which is a global real estate investment banking firm based in San Francisco, which all the things I just said, I'm not sure that I said in English because I don't know what that means. But yeah. It's a little above our pay grade to understand
That's
what that
right.
means, John. We're just media podcasters here.
Right, but we can only do so much.
Sean graduated from high school in 1996, so he is 10 years older than me because I graduated high school in 2006. So he's 43
now. Oh, okay, there you
now.
Go.
Sean graduated from high school in 1996. His high school yearbook presented him as the president of the Thespians. I was the president of another type of... There you go. But the business manager of the high school newspaper and an environmental club member.
Wait a minute, Darren.
Yes.
I was...
Oh, no.
What was I?
What's a business manager of a
high
school
newspaper?
Well, I was going to
say... Like, I guess,
what do we need to get? The local ad from like the baseball team? What the fuck?
I guess that is what that is, but I'm forgetting my title, but I was like right below the editor in chief of my high school newspaper. And Darren, I was in the environmental club. So this is very weird to me.
What did you do in the environmental club?
So basically we would have these things, they were called the Envirothons, and
oh my
they
God,
were
stop,
I
John.
Know, I know. And basically a team from each grade in each county high school would study up and, you know, learn about all the different things in environmental sciences. And there'd be this big, event at a nearby state park where all the teams would get together and you would compete against each other in, like, experiments and
or
identifying
to, like, to
rock
solve
types.
A problem or something? Like,
sort
with
of.
Water or.
It wasn't that intense yet when I was in high school. You know, like, global warming was just kind of becoming a known thing at that point.
Sure.
And, like, honestly, I just feel like the internet was kind of new, so people weren't as aware of things at that time. I'm really dating myself.
Yeah, okay,
but
boomer. Okay.
I know, right? But it was really fun. You know, I wasn't, like, a huge environmental science person, but I did well enough in this class that they wanted me to be on that team. We didn't do great at the event.
Well, that's
but
cool.
It was really fun nonetheless. And Darren, your biggest fan, Annie, who is a friend of mine.
Oh,
I've
love
made
Annie.
Here, she's an environmental science teacher. So she's excited that we're having this conversation right now.
Oh, well, and my mom is an environmental engineer. So there
That's
you
right.
go.
That's right. There you go.
It is funny how, like, when we're young, like when you know the least about yourself is when you're the most excited to, like, go participate in things.
I know.
Could you imagine now, John, if I was like, "Do you want to join my environmental club after work?" You'd be like,
"I gotta
no.
go."
Not yeah. because you're not interested in it, just because it's like no one wants to do anything when you grow up. Like, you always just want to, like, go home after work, you know?
Totally. Oh my God, don't even get me started on that. Yes.
Well, Sean's yearbook, which I appreciate this, also named him Worst Driver, which I didn't know was a superlative, or I guess the opposite of superlative.
Mm.
He frequently got into car accidents with stationary objects like trees or parked cars. And
well, okay.
I gotta be honest with you, that, like, I've never gotten into an accident, thank God, when I've been on the road. Like, at
yeah,
least nothing, like, nothing, you know, I might have had, like, a fender bender here and there, but
sure.
never anything, like,
intense.
I ran into a tree or, you know, my dad's, like, totaled cars before. If
yeah.
I was Sean's parents and, like, I had a kid that frequently got into car accidents, And because it's so common and like cars are so deadly, I gotta be honest with you, like this gives me heart palpitations if I was his parents. Know. Like it scares me a little bit. And however, no matter how many cars were wrecked, no matter how many cars he wrecked, rather, his parents never seemed to have trouble replacing them.
Quote,
he always got new cars, said former classmate John Tinkin. I'm assuming he got them from his parents. Let me just tell you, if I got my first car, which was my mom's car, which was a beautiful car. I loved it. It was a Volvo, red Volvo, when I was a junior in high school, because I guess I was 17. If I had like dented, there's no chance my parents would have bought me another one. Like that was it. Like they're not buying me many cars. No. Like that's it. You get your one and you're done. I was lucky enough to get a car.
Well, it's funny you say that because if I can just jump in really quickly, because when I was in high school, my grandfather bought a car for me. And Darren, I'm just going to tell you, and I love BMWs. He got me a 92 BMW. Okay. I was very pumped about it.
That's cool.
Well, here's the thing.
I mean, it's old in terms
of... No, it was very cool. And yeah, at the time even it was old, but like not even that old. It was just exciting to have a car.
What color was it?
Well, let me tell you, he was having it worked on before he bought it, so he hadn't actually bought it yet, or maybe he did buy it, because I'm pretty sure he did, but he didn't have insurance on it yet. He bought it off of a friend or something, and you know, it's just me, I don't need anything crazy, but it was a car. Well, like 2 months into getting worked on, the place that it was getting worked on burned to the ground, including the car.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, and to your point that you were just saying about...
So you never even drove it?
Didn't drive it, and let me tell you what happened as a result of that. So as you were just saying, you know, like, you don't get, like, another Volvo if you break up, you know, you destroy your Volvo. Well, they were like, sorry, that car burned up. We don't have another one for you. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I'll just, you know, save up or whatever. Well, Darren, I didn't get my driver's license until I was 20 years old. Isn't that weird?
You didn't get a driver's license until you were 20 years old?
No, and here, it's so weird. Like, I talk to my friends about it now, and we're like, oh, yeah. Like, all of my friends got their license before me and had cars before I did. So, they were just always willing to come pick me up because they were all so excited that they had, you know, their license and a car.
It's such a monumental time.
Like, I know.
Right? Like getting a car and then you kind of got snatched away.
Yes.
But like, I remember even beforehand when like, you know, the early 2000s movies, right, is what I'm talking about. Like when it was like, oh my God, you got a car. Like what kind of car did you get? Like it was all about car. But I don't remember really that being a thing. Like, I don't remember, like, I got my mom's car and I loved it. It was a great car. Like, I was very happy to have it. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember there being, like, a cool status with it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, he has a Range Rover. Like, my high school that I went into. But I just remember thinking before, I thought it was going to be a lot of a bigger deal than it actually ended up being. But
yeah, exactly.
At least my superlative in high school was not worst driver.
That's true.
So his parents keep buying, or supposedly his parents keep buying these cars.
Right.
And in spite of his affluence, Sean seemed to be a bit of an outsider who tried to make friends by throwing big parties at his parents' luxurious home. Been there many times. Now, often these parties would be catered with security guards on site to prevent the high schoolers from bringing in beer. One neighbor even recalled a large inflatable bounce house making appearances at parties. Okay, this is like... in that MTV show, My Super Sweet 16,
yes.
When parents spend like $400,000 and get their like 16-year-old not even being able to drive like a Lamborghini. And you're like, okay, I hate all of you. This is what that's like to me.
By the way, I was at a party this last weekend over 4th of July weekend, and there was a bounce house for the kids.
And by that mean you got in it.
I tried to get in and someone pulled me away and asked me
they
to
They kicked
leave.
You out? Yeah, because you're like, you're not wanted here, Boomer. You're not wanted
I'm like,
here.
I've had 4 Seagram's, like, island drinks. I'm fine.
Yeah, you're like, I'm good. I'm just going to throw up on all these little kids here.
Right.
Well, after graduation, Sean was accepted to Hofstra University in Hempstead, Long Island, where he enrolled in September of 2006. Sorry, I keep getting that wrong. Wow. After graduation... After graduation, Sean was accepted to Hofstra University in Hempstead, Long Island, where he enrolled in September of 1996 as a business student and joined the Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity. And in 1998, Sean was disciplined through the school for making fraternity pledges eat olives doused in Tabasco sauce. Now, I was in Greek life. Mm-hmm. I was hazed. My best friend, Brian, was the president of Deke, and I knew that he – I didn't know the exact ins and outs of the hazing that he went through, but let's just say the – and I think he wouldn't mind me saying this, the semester that he was pledging, he, like, did not get very good grades and then, like, had to – you know, and then it took his entire college to kind of, like, get that up because it was very intense. But I will say, of all the horror stories I've heard and, you know – John, I'm sure you can probably relate because you went to a huge school where I'm sure Greek life was massive.
Oh, yeah.
Eating olives doused in Tabasco sauce, like, doesn't feel that bad to me.
Compared to what I've heard.
Like, yeah. I'm not encouraging anyone to do this, but, like, I could also see, like, my brother eating this.
Right.
You know? Like, right. I don't believe in hazing. It just doesn't seem as bad as, like, the things I've heard, right? Like, you and I have heard terrible shit.
Oh, my God. I went to West Virginia University, which just had their Greek life shut down a few years ago because somebody... Because I don't even remember why. Like, something really crazy... I hope nothing horrible happened. It probably did, but...
No, but, like, people die... And I'm not encouraging you. I'm just saying, like, people have died. No, so eating olives doused in Tabasco sauce, like, seems a minor offense to me.
Right. And as to your point, like, there are probably, like, random weird guys that have eaten this, including, like, your brother. You said.
Yeah. Well, my brother's
not weird. Sauce. But,
yeah. No, well, he is, but that's
not
weird.
Okay. That's for you to say, not me, but yeah.
By 2001, 23-year-old Sean was still a sophomore, having completed only 51 of the 120 credits needed for graduation since his enrollment. So, you know, kind of falling by the wayside a little bit here. I mean, considering the fact that he graduated high school and he was the president of all these clubs, he was a business manager, it does seem like a little bit of a fall from grace here of what Sean's going through.
Yeah, his primary goal at school... Let me pause because I forgot the ad break. Sean's primary goal at school seemed to be working to impress all the younger students. In fact, once he posted a note online saying, quote, "My life is dedicated to keeping my fraternity number one on campus, my girlfriend smiling and my Land Rover clean." I mean, listen, I don't want to label anybody. I don't want to make, but that's kind of a douchey thing to say.
But this is like the most cishet thing, like, right, a dude can say. Like, it's just with chance for cisgender heterosexual, and obviously I just mean this is so, like, this is like this is what dudes say, like, my frat, my girl, my car.
I know, like, you know, it's hard, it's weird because being my age now, looking back at college, you know, it was always such a happy thing for me. Like, I had so much fun in college and I did great in college. It was like just a great experience for me. But, you know, at the same time, there are people that are just looking for their identity there. They're figuring themselves out. I was lucky that I didn't really have that feeling at that time. But so maybe this is just, you know, the way he's starting to identify. He just wants to be this, like, as you said, cishet type of person. I don't know. It's hard to judge people that are just trying to fit in, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yes. It's just like of course, like,
that you're doing
what
that,
a college kid to say, like,
yes, exactly.
You know, frat
yes.
girl car. Like,
I'm in my, I'm at college, guys, and I
keep
got
my
girlfriend.
Smiling. Like, yeah, that's my goal too, but, like, come on now.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, 20-year-old Max Kolb from Kingston, Massachusetts, also enrolled at Hofstra as a film major in 2000 and was also a sophomore in 2001. I want to say my best friend went to Hofstra. I've been on that campus a few times, so I do have some experience, Darren.
It's a lovely campus out in Long Island. Lovely campus, yep.
Yeah, it is. Well, Max was described as a quiet, sincere young man who would stay up all night to help out his close friends. By the way, also me and my best friend, helping them move into a new place right now that went to Hofstra. So there you go.
Oh, well, there you go.
There
could
you
just
go.
Be
he was.
You.
That's right. This could be me. That's the big twist. He was a major technophile and film buff.
Are we joking? Does he specialize in Spice Girl, like, paraphernalia? Because this is you.
On his dorm room desk, he was known to keep a neat schedule of TV programs he didn't want to miss. Remember, this
was
2001.
Maybe this is me.
This whole case is very weirdly both of us. It's like a mix of us.
Yikes.
Well, Max was a good student, a member of the dean's list, and was notoriously straight-laced. He even sent daily emails to check in with his mom. Aww. Well, Darren, what was I doing right before we called today? I was talking to my mom.
You were talking to your mom. The butterfly queen.
That's right. In 2001, 23-year-old Sean and his 19-year-old roommate Noah Mishner happened to room on the same dorm floor as Max. Did you ever live in the dorms, by the way?
I did. I lived in the dorms my freshman, sophomore year, and then I lived in my sorority house my junior year, and then I lived in like a house with my two best friends, which are still like on campus. It's like campus housing, but you have your own house my senior year.
Right, right. Yeah. That's cool. I only lived in the dorm my freshman year, and it was crazy. More
it's
on that
experience. I do feel like you kind of need that as a freshman. Like, I had co-ed dorms. Like, that's what I wanted. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to, like, sometimes I feel like city kids don't get that, like, quad life sometimes. You know, and you need that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, in an interview with the New York Times, Noah stated, quote, "Max would come in our room and hang out once in a while. But as usual, Sean's room was a high traffic party area where lots of students would frequently stop to hang out." So he was kind of like the central party guy in the dorm, it sounds like. I think
older,
all dorms have that. Yeah.
Right. He's the frat guy. Makes sense.
Yeah. The room Sean and Noah shared had a 67-inch TV. Darren, didn't you just buy something like this?
I did, and it was 75. So, not everyone can be as, you know, big as me. Size matters, people. That's right.
Wow. 75. I can't even imagine what that looks
like. John, you have to come over. It's like,
is it a whole wall? Like, my God.
It could be bigger. Like, I was like, should I have gone with the 85? Like, literally, that's my life. Anyway, I digress.
Okay, well, they had a 67-inch. And I would say, you know, back in the early 2000s, those were probably very, very expensive.
Insanely expensive. Like, 67 inches, like,
yeah,
gourmet of televisions, especially back then. Even now, it's very big.
I'd say so.
I'm impressed. Yeah.
We also had a music system, Darren. I don't know if you have that, and a smoke machine for your video game system, but it's all. He also had an elaborate light setup, all paid for by his dad.
Okay, this could easily be you because I know you love your like colorful LEDs.
I do have Hue lights.
You know, heart monitor. I don't even know what the hell you.
My heart monitor.
We don't know what's happening in John Dasher's house.
That's actually not a bad idea. I should look into that. Well, 1 year he even rented out a Times Square penthouse for Sean and his friends to party on New Year's Eve. So although Max may have gone to Sean's room to hang out or party, it wasn't necessarily because they were good friends. In fact, Sean and Max were really only ever spoken of as having two major interactions during their time at school together. Darren, why don't you tell us what those things were?
Yeah, I will. And I'm just saying, like, that's kind of common, right? I mean, like, I've been to plenty of, like, frats or dorm rooms where it's like, you know, people of people. And, like, that's sort of the college experience. So this is kind this is tracking. You know, there's some rich kids that parents pay for stuff. So this doesn't seem too weird to me.
And it's how you meet people, by the way. Like, you stumble into dorm rooms and suddenly you're best friends. At least that's what I would do.
Well, in the fall of 2000, during the first week of Max's sophomore year, Sean accompanied Max to his first Hofstra bar. Then in December, Sean invited Max on a Vermont camping trip he took with a few of his fraternity members. In a New York Times interview, classmate Patrick Teague recalled the Sigma Alpha Epsilon members kind of thought that it was strange because here he was with his fraternity members, and then he brought this kid. And they asked Sean, why did you bring this kid camping? And Sean made a joke. So, by the way, for not like two major interactions, I mean, these are major interactions. I mean, he's inviting him on this camping trip with his frat brothers. And remember, it seems like he only really kind of cares about his frat brothers. So, aside from these two instances, though, none of the guys as classmates seem to be aware of Sean and Max being more than kind of just casual acquaintances. On April 28th, Max had a scheduled dinner date with his parents, but failed to show up, which left them worried. Max's parents reported their son missing to the Nassau County Police, and for 3 weeks, investigators, classmates, university employees, and his parents all searched for Max. Wow. Now, I know this a little bit just in some research that I've sort of done where people go missing. And, you know, I was actually talking about this recently with a guy who we used to interview for Martinez and Murder, this guy, Billy Jensen, who does a bunch of, you know, true crime stuff. And
he's amazing.
He's amazing. And, you know, that movie Taken, where it's kind of like, if you don't find the person in 72 hours, like the chances, you know, go severely down. And while that might have been slightly exaggerated, because a lot of times, as he pointed out, missing persons, like the way that you report them doesn't like you can report a kid who's like been a runaway, but then they come back and they don't necessarily take that off the list. So it's kind of a little bit of a skewed statistic. But for 3 weeks, looking for a college kid doesn't seem to like add up, considering he's like emailing his mom every day.
I was just going to say that. Right. He's that kind of guy.
He's that kind of guy. So this is even more mysterious to me. And so it doesn't necessarily imply death, but it's a little It's super sussy. It's super sussy.
Yeah, it's sussy.
Well, upon investigation, Max's dorm room was found locked. His car was parked nearby, and records show that he had last used his university meal card to buy dinner on the evening of April 24th, and there was just no sign of him after that night. The community went...
I'm so sorry to interrupt, but I just have to comment on university meal cards. I mean, I don't know...
Saviors? I wish I had one now.
I don't know about you, but I stopped paying that part of my tuition because I was so disgusted by the food on campus. Keep going. Don't want to make light of a situation.
I want my meal card now. Like I would,
you wouldn't want that now.
I'm a glutton for like bad food. Like I love like, you know,
now that you say that. I know
I love a
saying.
Cardboard pizza. Yeah, yeah. I'm like all about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I'll eat gourmet, but like, let's be frank here.
I just remember when we were in New Orleans, we went to this like dive restaurant and we were just eating like the worst food. We were like both drunk in the middle of New Orleans, like just hanging out and loving each other.
Did you hear me complain? I had like three po'boys that night. I was like, bring it on.
That's right.
Like,
that's exactly what we had.
Give me more sweet tea. I was just in the vibes.
Well,
the community went all out, hanging up posters throughout Hempstead and nearby towns, giving radio interviews, searching all of his favorite places to hang out. It seems like Max had just vanished. And finally, after 3 weeks of searching, authorities received a break in the case in the form of an anonymous tip. Max had been seen leaving his dorm with Sean Alexander around 1:30 a.m. on April 25th. Now, keep in mind, meal card was used at April 24th, presumably for dinner, right? Makes sense.
Hours
later.
Eat
before you go out. Hours later. Next day at 1:30 a.m., you're leaving your dorm, presumably to party. Nothing crazy there.
Yeah.
Max had been seen getting into Sean's Land Rover, and the two left campus together. On Monday, May 14th, the police executed a search warrant for Sean's car. The next day, on Tuesday, May 15th, Sean was taken into custody and questioned. Remember, he's the last person that they know that has seen Max alive. So this is standard procedure here. This is standard.
Yeah, and just also, I was just thinking, for anyone who doesn't know, Hofstra University is only, what, Darren, about an hour and a half from New York City. So,
I would say even probably closer. Like, no traffic, could be 45 minutes. It's close.
So we're in the New York City metropolitan area, essentially. So when you have a missing person case in the New York City area, it's going to be very hard to pinpoint.
And also, a rich college kid and Sean, like, they could have gone into the city. Like, the world is their oyster. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Exactly. Well, during interviewed... what the hell? Why did I say that? My brain is not working. Here we go. During videotaped questioning, Sean first told authorities an odd story about having blacked out and waking up in a car, in his car, the next day covered in blood. Now imagine...
Yeah. How many college nights have you and I had like this, John? How many nights?
Where we wake up covered in blood.
You wake up with rainbow vomit from gummy bears in an Amy Winehouse wig. Some wake up in blood.
Some do that.
Yep. Some do that.
After police pressed him, Sean finally admitted to Max's murder, as well as where they could find Max, buried near a barbecue pit at a house he had rented in Long Beach. I mean, okay, I don't know. The thought of being buried near a barbecue pit just sounds so disrespectful. And, like, what is his motive at this point? We need to figure that part out as well.
Right, because, like, right now we have no reason to why this kid would want to ruin his life.
Right. In his statement, Sean told authorities that he had lured Max to a nearby Econo Lodge motel in Hicksville, telling Max he had a problem and wanted someone to talk to. Once they were inside room 102 of the motel, by the way, wonder if that's still there, Sean made a sexual advance at Max, who apparently, quote unquote, freaked out. Sean claimed, I was kind of wondering that, by the way, because... Let me say this.
Because he's inviting his friend on a frat trip.
Well,
so
not
it's like
just
a little like secret love like
that. That too. And then and then I was thinking about how like friends didn't really know them as being that close, but they apparently were. And that is usually a sign of somebody hanging out, you know, in the background.
And let me just say, this was 10 years before, you know, in theory that you and I were in college. And like, even when I was in school, like, you know, I'm 33 now. Like, gay marriage was not a thing. I went, you know, I'm a woman, which I think also has sometimes different stigma than men, right?
For where sure, it's
like,
yeah.
there's an environment of women kind of hooking up with women in college to like impress the boys, yeah. right? And not really, that's that double standard that doesn't really exist for men, you know? Like,
yeah, totally.
And I'm sure you can relate, John. If you're kissing a boy, people can be like, you're gay, as opposed to being mm-hmm. like, no, I'm just hooking up with my friends. So, you know, I remember being very, when I say embarrassed, I meant very like, I was very aware that I was different and wanting to sort of hide this because being different when you're younger isn't as fun. I think it's hard to embrace that in a lot of ways, even though I think it should be embraced. But I sort of understand from a male's perspective, especially that you can't, I understand him trying to hide it a little bit or being embarrassed by it because it's formative years that are very, very tough.
And you're trying to make friends. You're in a fraternity. Like that's not, they're not the most accepting. Yeah.
Especially guys, especially that type of environment back then. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Understood.
Well, Sean claimed that he'd then flown into a fury at being rejected. He pinned Max to the ground with his knees, put his hand over Max's mouth, and stabbed him repeatedly with a kitchen knife.
Is it not weird that Sean is, like, being honest about him making the sexual advance to Max? And then it almost seems like, you're being so honest with us right now of admitting this. It seems
Yeah, I completely agree with you. This also isn't feeling like it's adding up, if I'm being honest. Like, that's your reaction? Like, it was either, like, make out with me or I'm going to murder you with a kitchen knife? That's not adding up.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right. Okay.
Well, Sean then admitted that after Max was dead, he had hugged and caressed the corpse.
I can't believe he's admitting this. I can't believe he's admitting this.
Okay. And then as the sun rose, Sean wrapped Max's body in two plastic bags and a tarp, dragged it out of the now blood-splattered room, by the way, remember, they're in a hotel room, and put it in the back of his Land Rover. Sean checked out of the motel at 5:40 a.m., commenting to the desk clerk, quote, "I'm sorry, there's blood in my room. I cut my knee." Now, imagine being the desk clerk and someone says this. I mean, maybe it's because I'm doing a true crime podcast, but my first instinct would be like, okay, have a great day, and then call the police because there's no way I'm going in there.
My first instinct was like, why say anything?
Well, that's true too. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, yeah, it depends on how much blood there is. If it's like a drop of blood, which, by the way, I don't think people should just be leaving bodily fluids around. But like, if there was a drop of blood in the bathroom, I'm sure the cleaning people or whatever would be like,
people shave,
whatever. But if it's like blood spatter all over the wall, I don't think anyone's going to think that your fucking knee got hit, bro. Like,
well, right, exactly.
Come on, yeah.
Well, the Econo Lodge manager, Amy Sharkey, stated in an interview with the New York Post, quote, "There was a lot of blood on the floor, but there was no evidence of a struggle, and there were no complaints of noise," end quote, explaining that when she saw the bloody room, she had called a cleaning crew and not the police. I guess, to your point, Darren, like, it was enough that it was noticeable, but not enough that seemed, I guess, like, out of the ordinary of something that could be cleaned right away.
I mean, Sean claims he stabbed him repeatedly with a kitchen knife. That seems brutal to me.
Maybe he cleaned a lot of it up or something. I mean, that's so disturbing. But while Max's body remained in Sean's Land Rover for the next seven days.
As Sean
continued to drive around it. Now, remember, his motto at the beginning of this episode was keeping his girlfriend smiling, which obviously is not a thing if he's into this Max guy, and keeping his Land Rover clean, which he's not doing either.
But remember, he's also the worst driver, and I hate to say it in such a cross way, but like, does it not smell? Like, it's a decomposing body for seven days.
It's a great question because he was even given rides to his friends, and one friend who rode in the car during this time stated that the smell was so bad he'd suggested roadkill might have been trapped behind the wheel.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's very disturbing. I mean, imagine being in a car like that. Ugh, that would be so disturbing. Well, Sean then moved the body to a storage unit in Garden City where he kept it for 5 days. You know, you have to wonder what's going through his head.
This is a 12-day-old body now. This is disgusting. Yeah. Okay. What's his plan?
People are probably still looking for him at this point. You know, he's been missing. So finally, Sean asked a neighbor at the Long Beach rental home to move her car so that he could unload something into the backyard. 12 days after Max's death, his body was buried in a shallow grave by the home's barbecue pit, as we had mentioned previously. It sounds to me like, you know, I'm not to defend Sean by any means. He's a killer. But it sounds to me that he wasn't sure what to do with the body. And that
maybe it
really was one of those kind of crimes of passion. Like, he didn't plan to kill him, but he just, quote unquote, snapped.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, because if you're running around with a body for days on end, you're probably freaking out. You probably didn't mean to do it.
But let me just juxtapose that for a second.
Yeah.
Because you're probably freaking out, but you're giving rides to your friends with the body decomposing. So it's
like guys,
part
don't
of
worry
me
about
is like, are
smell.
You right? Are you like doubling down and trying to hide in plain sight, or are you a psychopath to some extent, where it's like you don't realize what you've done, and like kind of like, are you blacking out? There's just like a lot of questions here about what was going through his mind. And that same night, Sean led authorities to Max's body at the Long Beach rental, where they found his remains naked, mutilated, bound with duct tape, and gagged. So
let me
just say, crime of passion for a body to be mutilated, I don't know. Like,
right.
You know, even if you blacked out and came to, I'd like to think that you wouldn't continue mutilating the body. Like,
well, also, if it's duct tape and gagged, like, that tells me that, like, there's more to this.
This is cold-blooded murder. Now, prosecutor Fred Klein stated to the New York Post, quote, Max was gutted, cut from the sternum to the belly button. He was missing one of his thighs. It was one of the most disturbing murder scenes I've seen in my 22 years. He was very methodical and violent for a first-time offender. So, here we go. This is not like, oh, I kissed a boy and I'm embarrassed now. This is now into territory that, you know, you and I are all too familiar with. Sean told authorities that he, quote, did all that stuff after I killed him, which, by the way, is not normal either.
No, definitely not.
After conducting an autopsy, investigators were led to believe that the reality of events was even more sinister than Sean initially disclosed.
Oh,
a large quantity, the date rape drug GHP, which is gamma hydroxybutrate, which, unfortunately, I know some friends that take GHP recreationally, but I also know some friends, female friends specifically, that have been drugged with GHP. So I know it all too well. I actually think it's GHB, but GHP could be like another form of it. But it was found in Max's system, and they also learned that Sean had bound Max with duct tape and photographed him before mutilating his body. So this is
so
like
I
a
take
weird
back what I was saying. This isn't a crime of passion. Keep going.
No, and prosecutor Klein commented, quote, the evidence would show that Sean killed Max Kolb for the thrill of it, and not, as he told police, because Max Kolb refused his advances.
Mm-hmm.
It clearly wasn't a question of him being rebuffed. It's clear there was no struggle.
Mm.
In Sean's room, the police found a steak knife inside a backpack, and they believe this to be the murder weapon. By the way, a steak knife? Like,
ugh, of all things.
But, like, can that cut? Like, it just, like, oh, my God.
That,
well, it was later found that, all told, Sean had brought duct tape, a rope, two knives, and GHB with him to pick up Max before the two left for the hotel. Sean was arrested on second-degree murder charges and arraigned on May 17, 2001, where the court ordered him to be held without bail. On July 2, 2001, Sean pled not guilty to first-degree murder of Max Kolb, with his defense team telling journalists that they were leaning towards pursuing an insanity defense, which, to some extent, for a kid that doesn't, for a first-time offender, if this is true, seems very, it does seem like it could have been an insanity case, because this just doesn't kind of match the profile of somebody, I think. It seems
I have a
like,
hard time with
seems
the
like
insanity.
A blackout. I know. Me too.
Yeah, I just mean because of the premeditation behind it. So I'm surprised they would even try to go down that road. Although maybe that is something
offense?
I'm
offense. Yeah, yeah, it seems like for not being at least from what we know, you know, even starting with small animals or being violent with girlfriends or something like that. Well, the judge gave the defense team 45 days to consider whether they wanted to move forward with the insanity defense, at the same time granting the prosecution 120 days to determine whether they wish to seek the death penalty at trial.
Wow. Well, capital cases like that, Darren, are extremely rare in New York State, which is a very kind of progressive state.
Well, in ways it is.
In certain
ways,
ways
it isn't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and since the death penalty was reinstated in New York in 1995, there have only been Yeah, there have only been 12 capital cases in Nassau County, and none have resulted in an execution. Even if his execution was highly unlikely, the last execution in New York State took place in April 1963, so like 30, 40 years before this.
Right, which also begs the question of why reinstate it?
And right.
Right. I don't know. Like, in 50 years, you... And I'm not encouraging people to execute someone, but, like, clearly... Yeah.
Well, even if, even if his execution was highly unlikely, a guilty verdict for the first degree murder in New York State bears the possible punishments of death and life without the possibility of parole. Sean's trial was set to commence on January 6, 2003. However, just before the start of the jury selection, the very first part of a trial, of course, Sean surprised everyone by entering a plea of guilty to the second-degree murder and kidnapping of Max Kolb. By pleading guilty... Now, isn't this interesting how you can negotiate yourself around all this stuff?
What our criminal justice system is, right? Like, and unfortunately, it's in place because sometimes people are more willing to talk and solve other cases if you can of give them something. So there's good
and maybe
and
that's a good thing. Yeah, maybe that's a good thing. Yes. Well, by pleading guilty to second degree murder, Sean ensured that he will be eligible for parole 30 years from the date of his arrest in May 2001. Sean rocked back and forth as he entered his guilty plea and confessed to Max's killing, stating that he, quote, physically caused the death of Max Kolb, and I intentionally did so, end quote, which is very interesting. Like, you don't really hear that kind of a confession too often.
I almost wanted to say it was cold-blooded. Like, I wanted to say cold-blooded, and then I was like, why am I saying Kolb? And then I realized his last name. It was like,
Very close. Well, when the judge asked if he intended to kill Max when he stabbed him, Sean answered, yes, Your Honor. So, but it's interesting because you're still not really hearing a motive out of him.
I'm confused. You know? I'm confused.
Well, Sean was sentenced to 30 years to life on March 11th, 2003, but will be eligible for parole in May of 2031, just 10 years from now.
And I think this is what's confusing because, like, you know, we kind of get this backstory of him being this, like, presumably what we know, right? Like, this maybe a spoiled little rich kid, you know, crashing into cars. His parents are buying new ones. He's having these big parties for people. Mm-hmm. To me, this case really bothers me because not only is there no real motive, but also let's say the motive was some internal homosexual urge, right?
Right.
Why tell police that? Like, if you're going to admit that you killed someone and you're somehow embarrassed by some internalized homosexuality, why admit that to police in the first place? Because you're already admitting to the murder. They don't need to know that he rejected your advances.
So I'm wondering if it is part of what... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt
I was going to say, I wonder if it was like he was trying to divert something else?
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Okay.
There has to have been something else. I mean... I don't know. We don't know all the very specific details. We just know what we were able to share here today on the show. But to me, there had to have been something else going on here. You know what I mean?
It just seems weird to do this as a first-time offender, then admit to it when you wake up in the car covered in blood. Like,
right.
Part of me does think maybe there's an insanity thing here, be fair.
Yeah.
I don't know. And if there is, a legitimate case for it, then it deserves to be heard. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, just because he did something horribly, you know, like, and I'm not saying that, you know, he's not guilty, but I do think that this is an odd case for me, and it doesn't seem to add up.
And his willingness to just be like, yes, Your Honor, I did kill him. Like, there has to be a motive there that is a little more deep and darker. Like, I almost wonder, you know, just thinking about the college stuff, the fraternity stuff, I'm like, does this guy Max know something that, like, this guy doesn't want other people to know? Does it have to do with the sexuality? Because we do hear that from time to time.
You know, only kind of like, you know, he takes Max to his first bar. Mm-hmm. He invites him on this camping trip. It's just, I could see there being this homosexuality thing there. You know, like, in some way he's embarrassed. Like, if the motive was he was going to tell the frat brothers and I killed him, that makes sense to me. Like, I can wrap my, I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I can sort of wrap my head around
you
this.
You get
like,
the motive.
Rage.
Yeah, right.
Right. But this, it just, it doesn't make any sense to me about any sort of embarrassment. Yeah. And I think for me, that's what also really bothers me, because there's just no closure. It just was a complete senseless act for absolutely no reason. And someone had to die callously, especially with no motive behind it. So I can only imagine that the family of Max Kolb is just constantly struggling with this. And, you know, obviously, guys, let us know what you guys think on our social media, on our Facebook. I'm curious to see if you have a motive that we haven't thought of. Maybe there's something obvious that we haven't thought of, or if you've heard anything about the case or know anyone, because obviously this is kind of a, for us, like, we have friends that have gone to Hofstra, so it's not like
you're
in the boonies or whatever. But follow us at Jay Thrasher, at Carpe Darren, and we're also on Facebook, of course, Shaken and Disturbed. And it's just, I'm left a little flabbergasted with this one.
It sounds like you're going to be thinking about this one for a while.
I am. It's just, I don't know. It makes me a little scared. I got to be honest, but, let's end this show with some positivity, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that. By the way, we did mention the word sussy a couple times. I think it's becoming our new thing. So why don't you tell us what our friend Travis said in our Facebook group?
Well, Travis in our Facebook group said, so after listening to the past couple episodes, I can't wait to throw out the word sussy. Which he spells with an I, or sussy, I-E, or sussy with a Y, however you spell it. In my mind, it's with a Y.
Yes.
In my mind. But
we're going to confirm it. Please feel
free.
That.
We'll confirm, but please feel free to use it in any sort of way. Can't wait to throw the word sussy in a conversation and then act dumbfounded when my friends ask what I said. Sussy, what, you don't know that word? And if you don't know the word, are we really friends anyways? It has become my new favorite word. Thanks, everyone. And just moving forward, if you see merch from us, we will be spelling it S-U-S-S-Y. we are the sussy susses.
The sussy squad.
Travis, I agree with you. If someone doesn't know what sussy is, I say dump them.
Absolutely. And this is a great example of you guys have to get all of your friends listening to our show. And if they're not interested, then they're not your friends.
Then drop them like a hot drop potato. Them. Yes, exactly.
Thank you, Travis, for that. That one made me laugh. Also, Goon Squad, which is an amazing name on Twitter, said, quote, that's my type, unavailable straight men. Jay Thrasher has me in tears in this week's episode of Shaken and Disturbed. Well,
that
Goon
is
Squad,
your type.
That is my type. It's
your
I have to admit.
You love an unavailable straight man. You love that.
I will say this, though, about unavailable straight man. You know who was an unavailable straight man who was my type? David Archuleta, until recently.
Right. So, now he's just an unavailable queer man.
Right. Exactly. Whatever he may be, he's continuing to be unavailable.
Exactly.
And I think, Darren, maybe what we need to do at the end of every episode is do a little like tag, you know, here at the end where I say, and just a reminder, everybody, if you know someone who knows David Archuleta, please let me know. You'll get a shout out on the episode. Trying to make a connection, trying to find my husband out there. It's a very important part of being a listener of the show.
Amen.
I'm just going to add that. Yeah.
And, you know, if you know that, or if you want to join our Patreon and hear John talk about unavailable straight
men.
Or unavailable queer men in general, we have 15% off our Patreon if you actually subscribe annually. So this means no monthly billing.
That's right.
You just subscribe for a year up front and you get everything we have already posted and everything to come. A new murder case just went up last week.
That's right.
Very disturbing. It's super cheap and helps support the show and us, and we gravely appreciate it. Patreon.com/shakenanddisturbed.
Another great thing about Patreon, too, I think I mentioned this before, is we are in the DMs there even more than our own social media. So,
oh, yeah, if you comment all the time in real life. So,
yeah, if you ever want to connect to us, and the only reason is because, at least for me, Darren, like I get the Patreon like notifications or whatever on my phone. So every time one of you guys DMs us, I see it on my phone. I'm like, oh, it's a Patreon fan. And
I get it on my Apple Watch.
Look at you one-upping me with an Apple device. Interesting.
A sussy watch. Yes, a sussy
Sounds
watch.
Like Nadine's back in town.
That she is, baby.
Who loves Apple devices. So
that's
I love
right.
That. Well, guys, this has been a really fun and disturbing episode to break down with you guys. We'll hope to hear your responses on social media or Patreon. And Darren, we'll see you guys next time.
Amen.
Bye.
Bye.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.